Hello all sentient beings and welcome to the Transmissions Podcast, where we talk all Hasbro, Takara, and third party
Transformers!
On this episode of Transmissions, Zeta Toys gives us a look at their G1 Fortress Maximus. Fans Hobby has a prototype Armada Megatron, and Shockwave Lab has an upgrade kit for Earthrise Ironworks. Today is Wednesday, May 27th, 2020, and this is episode 383 of Transmissions.
Welcome to Transmissions, the podcast that knows you don't go cyber golfing while battling a rust plague. I'm your host Charles, aka Big C, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team. Jeremy, aka Yakko.
Hey, how's it going?
And Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast.
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys? Let's talk Transformers.
All right. We're back again. It's Memorial Day weekend as we record this. Not that that means anything since we're still all kind of sitting at home all the time, but
doesn't mean anything to me at all. But it was Queen Victoria's birthday last week. I didn't hear you guys celebrating.
No, we did not. So hope everyone had a good holiday and back to the grind at home. Or
hope everyone remembered that you didn't work on Monday if you had the holiday.
Yeah. All right. And yeah, so we're back to talk Transformers and take your mind off the wider world as, still things are going on. But as always, we start off the show by thanking our Donatrions, those lovely people who give us money on Patreon and PayPal. Thank you so much for continuing to support the show. We really appreciate it, and we love you guys and love your support. So thank you again. If you would like to join the ranks of our Donatrions, just go to transmissionspodcast.com/support, and there you'll find links on Patreon and PayPal where you can sign up and help us out. Another way to help us out is to buy merchandise from our TeePublic store, and that is at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. And you can also check out our friend K-Girl store at teepublic.com/user/superstarK. She does awesome artwork and has great designs. She's done some work for us in the past, and we want to support her as well as support ourselves. So check it out. We've got new shirt designs. We've got masks. You know, we've talked about it before. Masks are in fashion right now. So if you're looking for some masks, looking for that summer mask, as Jeremy said, check out Transmissions Designs. We've got shirts we've put out since last year and this year. Our logo and lots of different styles. We've got a couple other designs. Check them out. And this week in particular, TeePublic is running its Memorial Day sale. So since Monday, May 25th to Thursday, May 28th, everything again is 35% off. So another week, another TeePublic sale. So lots of opportunities to take advantage of that and get a great discount, but also help out Transmissions while you're at it. Also this week, we've got episode 24 of Empire of Rust, our Transformers live-action RPG podcast run by our awesome producer and editor, Mike Ordway. So episode 24 is titled Ship of Fools and just came out this Monday, so it should already be in your podcast feed. Check it out. And in this episode, the gang is going to try to avert disaster as the ship they are on has lost an engine and they have to figure out a way to get it restarted and fixed before they come crashing down. So it's a fast-paced, high-octane thrill ride of an episode. Check it out. And lastly, before we get into the toy talk, we've got to give away some Toy Hacks $10 gift code this month. So another end of the month prize from our friends at Toy Hacks. Thanks to toyhacks.com for supplying this prize every month. And this contest, of course, is open to everyone, but our Donatrons are automatically entered every month. And $10 gift code to get some stickers, some labels for your toys. They make labels for all the G1 stuff, all the third-party stuff, lots of selection, and lots of cool stuff.
Even some G.I. Joe stuff, and even some Power Rangers. stuff and all kinds of crazy crap. So, yeah.
Yeah. So those, I think Toy Hacks is one of the companies that just is, their enhancements work for all your figures. So I think it's they just do lots of cool stuff. They make great figures even better, and they make good figures great. So check out their stuff. And as I said, we're going to do a drawing. So one of our lucky listeners is going to win a $10 gift code. If you would like to enter the contest, but you are not a Transmissions Donatron every month, you just need to send an email to contest@transmissionspodcast.com and tell us one of your Transformers toys you would like to get stickered up from Toy Hacks with a picture. So that's all you got to do. Send in a picture and you are automatically entered in the contest for that month. All right, Jeremy, are you ready to pick a winner?
I'm ready, but I'm not picking.
Okay, Jeremy,
up to a random number generator.
Is your assistant ready to pick a winner?
Computer, are you ready?
I'm ready when you are.
All right. So, Jeremy, if you could please have your assistant pick a number between 1 and 80.
Computer, please pick a random number between 1 and 80.
Your random number between 1 and 80 is 37.
37? DJ Ronin.
What?
No.
I thought that you would take him off the list.
Nope. Redraw. We'll just stop the recording here. Stop the recording. And we will redraw.
This is like the first time that someone's actually been in the live chat as we record that he won. And now we have to just figure out a new contest to do.
Yep.
DJ Ronin. And this is the second time Mr. Ronin has won. So congratulations, DJ Ronin.
Mm-hmm. Well done. Now I have to remember to find a way to get you your gift code here. So
I assume we don't have to provide you his email address, Daryl. I think you know it.
I don't, but I can find him.
You can go knock on his door and get his email address.
Yeah. I'll just deliver him some used sticker sheets that I have left over. And then I'll just use the gift code myself.
You have those like reflector stickers you did. You can just
lots. There's still about 116 of them here. So I cut them up individually and just throw them at them. Sticker confetti.
Well, congratulations, DJ Ronin, our long-suffering, one of our most loyal listeners and supporters. Congratulations, long overdue, and hope you enjoy it. All right, now let's get into some toy talk.
All right, and first up this week, I want to start off with a add-on set from the company that is kind of taking over for doing add-on sets, and that's Shockwave Lab. They have their 75th add-on kit, and it is the add-on set for Earthrise Ironworks, and it's a pretty cool set. It doesn't add a whole heck of a lot. It's a little gun and a propeller, and it's used to kind of add on the little pieces that are missing from Earthrise Ironworks that the G1 figure had. So yeah, it's not a whole heck of a lot. It's a windmill, a missile, and like that's it. Not a whole hell of a lot for this thing. It looks all to be fairly 3D printed. It's not super crazy, but it's enough that if you put it in the shape of its G1 city or counterpart, it adds enough to really make it look like it's G1 counterpart, because that G1 figure, the city, it did have this red propeller and this little red missile on it. So it's one of those things that Earthrise Ironworks is lacking that kind of stand out. You know, you try and compare the two and you're like, okay, well, there's no propeller and there's this big missile that's missing. So there's still no price on this thing. Generally, Shockwave Lab sells through eBay. And this is something that I'm interested in getting because I just kind of like the way it looks. And I've been checking and there's been nothing. So I can't expect it to be too much. I'm thinking probably max 15, 16 bucks, but I'd like to hope it's around 10. But yeah, so I'm going to be keeping my eye out for it. this company, Shockwave Labs, I'm assuming it's one guy doing all the printing, but they are just pounding out the add-on kits for these things. Do either one of you like the look of this thing? I know, Jeremy, you actually have the G1 ironwork. Is this something that you might get for your Earthrise ironworks?
Yeah. I mean, if the price is reasonable, like you said, and I mean, we have no reason to think it won't be. I think this is a really cool thing that I'd like to get. You know, I do wish that they had done the windmill where it would fold up like the
right.
G1 one did, but you know, you can understand why they didn't.
Yep.
I always thought it was kind of like a radar dish type thing, but I don't know.
It can,
it's whatever you make it. That's
the beauty of imaginations, Jeremy. It can be whatever you want it to be. I always thought it was a saw blade. So
yeah, but I mean, looking at the images they did, where they made the ironworks look like the G1 kind of battle mode, yep. And you can really make it look a lot like the original toy with these add-ons. So I really think that's cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very cool. What about you, Charles? Do you have ironworks yet?
I do not. I have not found much of any Earthrise in my area. It's been pretty barren here.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm still looking for an Earthrise. I mean, I'm looking for an Ironworks, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't really have a big connection to the original MicroMaster bases. I was not getting Transformers at that time, and I've not gone back to collect those guys, so...
All right.
With Earthrise, I think the redesigned MicroMaster bases with robot modes is basically a cool addition. So,
mm-hmm. Is it something that you are actively looking for when you do go in there? If you do see one, you'll pick it up.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't you know, it's with the whole pandemic situation. Sure. I'm not going out to the stores very often to look for toys. So
exactly.
It's, you know,
where are your priorities?
So I mean, if I did see it though, I would pick it up. For this add-on kit, I can't say that it's something that would really interest me unless maybe I was, you know, maybe as an impulse buy at a con, a non-existent con that I was at.
Sure.
Yeah, but I can't say I would go out of my way to order this. But maybe if the price was right, maybe. But just because I don't really have a connection to the G1 Ironworks, you know, I'm not too excited about getting these add-ons. So
yeah, I get it. I assume once you're able to kind of get back into the swing of things, Ironworks is one of those characters that most people, I mean, they're not going to recognize him for his robot mode because he didn't mm-hmm. have one in G1, and the name right. is very obscure as well. So it's one of those things that tends to shelf warm unless you have somebody that goes in and is like, I need 14 of these things because I have an idea. So
they are the Lego of Transformers.
It is, and they're fun, right? So, I mean, I only wanted one because I'm not an insane person, but it is fun to kind of build on these things. So, yeah, I'm fully confident that once everything kind of starts coming back to normal, you'll be able to find one of these things fairly easily. But I'm right there with you. I've been in a Walmart twice, I think, during this entire thing, and no other stores.
Yeah.
It's not toy hunting is very low on my list of things to do right now. And right. It kind of bugs my brain. Like I'm searching online sites for things that for people to like have stores ship, and nobody's shipping anything. So yeah. But yeah. So that's one of the things I wanted to talk about. The next one was kind of a weird little entry that kind of popped up, and I was kind of excited for this, but I don't know whether I'll get it or not, just because it's, you know, it's odd. But Zeta Toys announced that they're going to be re-releasing a figure that at one point came out as a Toy World figure. So a long time ago, in a toy factory far, far away, Toy World released a figure called Infinitor, and it was a smaller, I guess. Well, I mean, it's about 9 inches tall, but it's Fortress Maximus, and it looks really cool, and actually premiered and was debuted as almost a convention exclusive at the first ever TFCon Chicago. Jeremy, Charles, you were there. I don't imagine you remember because it's toy related, but you were there when it when it came out. I remember, and I wasn't even there. Yeah,
the toy room in that convention was so packed that I don't know if we would have been able to find it if we wanted to.
Yeah, but it did come out there. There was a there eventually was a Grand Maximus re-release of it in the different colors. So fast forward to now, and Toy World broke up, and Zeta Toys, some of the designers went on to become Zeta Toys, and they're re-releasing this thing under the Zeta Toys banner, and they're giving it a new metallic finish. So you can still see some of the, like, the prices of it under some of the old stores. So, like, Big Bad Toy Store was selling the Toy World version for $150 back in the day. So there still really isn't any kind of definitive information on what this one from Zeta is going to cost, but let's ballpark it at about $150 because that's what the old version cost. But the big difference here is that it's now got a metallic finish, and it's the same figure. It hasn't changed in height. It's still 9 inches or about 23 centimeters tall, and it's still a G1 Fortress Maximus, and it looks pretty awesome. The metallic finish on it really pops. And yeah, it's cool. So it's more of a playable Fortress Maximus. If you've got the Titans Return Fort Max, it's fun because it's huge and it's a big city and it kind of interacts with the rest of your, you know, generation stuff. But you really can't, you know, play with it. It's huge. It's more of a my buddy. You know, you sit down next to it and you take it for car rides and stuff. This is more of a Fort Max that you can kind of mess with at a table or in a chair and stuff because it's, you know, it's a better size. But I'd be interested to see what it's going to cost, and yeah, if anyone's really interested in getting this thing now, because I remember it coming out and I remember it going really fast. So Charles or Jeremy, do you guys have memories of this thing? What do you think of having a kind of a smaller 9-inch tall Fortress Maximus, Charles?
I think it's a neat idea. It's a playset for your legend scaled figures. So, you know, I think that's cool having something that you can, a Fort Max you can fiddle with, I guess. Yeah, I do remember this at TFCon Chicago, but I mean, I think it was just out of my price range for, you know, I mean, it's a cool, like, if I'm gonna spend $100 on Fortress Maximus, I think I'd want to, you know, get the full Fort Max experience.
What is that experience, Charles?
I don't know, the giant Fort Max, you know.
Oh my.
Now that he's on board the Unicron train, he's wanting to get all the massive.
It's go big or go home, right, Charles?
Exactly.
He Size has matters. To justify the Big C name now. You know, he's not Big C himself anymore. He's Skinny C.
He's not happy unless he's being pummeled by something huge.
Okay, Daryl, a little too far. A little too far.
Hey, I work with what you give me, buddy.
But yeah, just looking at the pictures, the metallic finish is, I think, looks good. I don't know, the plastic on the ramps and the red. I'd like to see a little bit, like, if you're going to make just the blue metallic, make everything else metallic too. It's a little bit of a clash. But other than that, I mean, if you missed out on this and you want it, I think this is a good opportunity to get it.
Sure.
But yeah, it looks good.
One of the things you might notice is that there are no paint details or stickers on this thing whatsoever. So I'm assuming that it's still not done. So I would hazard a guess that there's, once some paint details get done to it, it would really start to pop. And yeah, at least do a sticker set for it, you know, because there is some paint details on the Toy World version. The ramps are still, you know, kind of like a very blinding white. But there are some smaller details on it that really do help it, you know, kind of break the colors up a bit. But yeah, Jeremy, what are your thoughts on this this smaller, let's call it Legend Scale, as Charles pointed out, Legend Scale Fort Max?
I like it. I think it looks great. I love the colors. I think the The metallic blue looks great. I agree that I wish some of the red was also metallic, but I think the colors, the blues, the reds, the dark grays, it all works well together. If it is around the $150 price range, I think that's reasonable. And if I was in the market for a Fort Max, I would look at it because unlike Charles, I don't have an unlimited amount of space to store stuff. Mm. You know, I would have to find a spot for it, but it's easier to find a spot for this than the big one.
Yeah.
And
I was dealing in hypotheticals. I have space for Unicron. I'm not in the market for a Fort Max at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think this looks great. And I think also, like Charles said, if you have a lot of Legends figures, I think it'd be a great companion for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And interesting to see, you know, Zeta picking this up.
Well, I'd be interested to see, you know, in the future of what other Toy World things were designed by the Zeta people, you know, and what other things they kind of bring over. Because Toy World, I believe, is still producing things. I'd have to kind of look again, but I'm not sure on that. But Zeta really has kind of jumped to the forefront of being one of the top five third-party companies now.
Is this something that you would have seen being like a TFCon exclusive?
I think it was at the time. So the first TFCon Chicago, this was an exclusive. It was produced and ready to go.
I mean, this particular one.
Oh, this particular one?
I mean, like, you know, if TFCon was still happening in July, and the story says this was expected in June.
Maybe. It's possible, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
being that it's like the Marvel color scheme, personally, I could see like some vendor having it as their exclusive.
It's possible. Well, that's all I brought to the show this week. Jeremy, what do you tell us what you got?
The first thing I have is an update from our friends at Toy Robot Magazine. As you know, their Kickstarter did not succeed. So they're kind of figuring things out there, but they made an announcement on Facebook this afternoon as we're recording this, but it's already gone live. They're selling issue number one on Facebook. If you go to facebook.com/Toy Robot Magazine, and sales are live from May 25th through May 29th. So there's a few days left or until they sell out. And it's going to be $12.99 for the standard issue, $19.99 for the metallic issue. It's just the cover's metallic. It's only U.S. shipping. So, I mean, due to the COVID-19 stuff and international shipping restrictions, they're only doing U.S. right now. But they do plan to do a limited international run as soon as they can. So that's cool. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's interesting that, you know, we knew that they already had a lot of content made for this already. Are any of you guys interested in, you know, just topping on, seeing what this is? $12.99 is a bit much for a magazine, but if it's got good content, I mean.
Yeah, I backed the Kickstarter, so I think I might just pick this up just to see what it is.
And Daryl, you're international, so.
I'm international, but I have connections to U.S., you know, places of pickup, so, yeah.
Yeah. Well, would you be interested in this?
Maybe. I was looking at this when they first were talking about it, before they, like, announced what they were going to be doing, and I was thinking, this was supposed to come out in March, and here we are at the end of May. Were the articles in it going to be topical, or are they kind of evergreen kind of articles so that you can read them 2 years, 3 years from now and be like, okay, that's cool, I didn't know that? Or is it like, yeah, that was 2 years ago? Or is that like, you know, you're reading it in June and it's, yeah, that was March, or that was, because I remember when we interviewed them, they were saying, yeah, we wrote this stuff and it was November. And, right. You know, you read it and you're like, yeah, this was all like 2019 information. You know, is it dated?
I think it's going to be a lot of evergreen stuff. Like, they have an interview with the former Toy Fair editor. There is a big Siege article based on the cover here, but it doesn't seem like they're going to be doing like news. It's going to be more reviews and lots of pictures and stuff. So I would hope with the limited numbers of issues that they were planning originally that it would be evergreen. That would just make more sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, let's say I'm interested. $12.99 US and for the first issue is a high price point. I'd like to say I want to do it because I want to help them out and I want to kind of support their project. I'm just $13 US per issue for the first, I think they said it was going to be six issues.
Well, but this, they're only talking the first issue,
right? I know, but let's just say they want to continue and they want to keep doing the first six because that was the original plan for the first year. That's a large chunk of change for just six issues of a magazine, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is that they tried to, you know, if their Kickstarter had succeeded, then they could amortize the cost across multiple issues. I think this is now, you know, seeing what their demand was not high enough to meet the Kickstarter, they have to basically, you know, charge enough to break even to print this one magazine.
Yeah.
And
they don't get like volume discounts.
Right. So, I mean, if by some miracle this magazine sells really well for this first issue, maybe that will justify them printing, you know, going back and continuing the series and doing a second issue. But I think at this point, this might be a one and done, depending on how well it sells.
I think I'm going to pick it up too. If anything, it's a neat collector's item. Yep. And, you know, as we've seen, the pictures, like the photography in there is going to be really good. Mm-hmm. So that's nice.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I have is a rumor that is, I mean, all but, you know, not a rumor. We have, this was on the, I think it was the Transformers subreddit, images of a Earthrise Optimus Prime that is devoid of color. And this was described as sleep mode Optimus Prime. I think it's the eternal sleep that you never come up, you never come back from until parents complain that you traumatize their kids. So it's essentially, you know, a dead Optimus Prime. And I think this is cool. I don't know if Hasbro has ever put one out like this. I mean, we've got the Nemesis Primes, but just one that is just essentially a grayscale Optimus Prime.
They've put out Masterpiece.
It's really neat.
Yeah. Masterpiece. Takara did one, but I don't know if Hasbro's
ever... That's Takara, not Hasbro.
Yeah.
Daryl, what do you think of this?
I think it's cool. I think... I'm trying to think, like, this won't be a regular retail release. It's just... It's too niche.
It would be like a Selects.
It's got to be a Selects or... It would have been a San Diego Comic-Con exclusive, mm-hmm. right? Because it's...
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's bigger, right? I'm trying to think, would it have been like a Walgreens? No, it's too big for Walgreens. They usually only do deluxe stuff.
It'll be a Hasbro Pulse. Maybe an Entertainment Earth or something like
something,
that.
Something, right? So it's going to be an exclusive for somewhere. And it's I'm thinking you're right. It's going to be a one for Hasbro Pulse or Selects or something like that. Because they did do a leader class... one last year, and it was the Shockwave, right? So it was a leader. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's cool. You don't often see like the trailer all dead either. So it's, you know, it's fully grayscale. It's neat. I don't know whether I'd want it. It's just it's a neat niche item that you know, some collectors out there are really keen on, and it's kind of cool. I still haven't messed with the Earthrise Optimus. I know it's essentially very similar to the Siege Optimus, which I do have, but I just want to fiddle fart around with it myself just to see what the actual differences are. But it looks cool, and I'm happy for anybody who's been waiting for something like this.
Now, I think it would be neat to see what a modder would do with it, not having to worry about taking off a bunch of paint.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's essentially a blank canvas for them.
Yeah.
Charles, what are your thoughts on this? Would you be interested?
Not really. It's kind of a meh for me. I mean, I think all the points Daryl raised, I think, are valid for and you too, Jeremy, as you mentioned, for like for modders and things. So I think it's good that this exists, but for me, I'm it's not I don't need a gray Optimus Prime. The red and blue is just fine for me. Or, you know, even the Nemesis Prime, I think, is a little bit more better than this kind of just dead gray. yeah, I don't know. I don't have a diorama where you have Optimus Prime dead on the slab, you know, passing the Matrix on or something. So I don't really have a use for this.
You need to get on that.
But I guess, you know, the good thing is, since it comes with a trailer, you don't need like a medical bay slab or something. You can just put them right there.
Yeah.
So,
and then you can just get a Huffer or you know, something like that pulling the trailer.
Funeral procession.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I'd be interested in if it's not an unreasonable price, I think this would be a fun pickup. But anyway, that's all I got this week. Charles, what do you have?
All right. So this is actually from last week, but I thought it was interesting. So we talked before about this whole NEZA cross Transformers thing that's coming out of Japan, or not Japan, China, where NEZA is this Chinese mythology, and they're crossing that with Transformers, and there's going to be an animated series, and they've got some toys now that are branded with this, and it's coming from the Xiaomi store in China, and it's an exclusive where they've got these new building brick toys for Transformers branded with this this NEZA cross Transformers brand that they're promoting. The building block toy, so it's not Legos, it's not Lego adjacent, you know, it's not the similar, like it's not copying off the Lego style bricks. It's more the Technic Lego line, where it's, you know, different kinds of pieces where you can build this Optimus Prime. It doesn't transform, but it does. I mean, it is a kind of a cool articulated Optimus Prime. It looks very much like the Cyberverse Optimus Prime, at least in the head design. And it's pretty large. I mean, you see the picture of the, you have an adult putting it together, and it's, you know, looks like it's about the size of you're coming up to an adult person's torso. There's a lot of pieces.
Who's sitting?
They're not standing.
They're not standing.
It's just the torso, not the torso and the legs.
Yes.
But it looks cool. I mean, it looks like a well designed build. I mean, it's similar to like a model kit. Like I would say, the Flame Toys stuff. I mean, not exactly like that, but you know, the similar idea of you're putting this kit together. It doesn't transform. I think I said that already, but I don't know if you could actually take the pieces and turn them into a truck. Maybe not.
I think the one picture with the girl does appear to have it in a truck mode. So,
yeah, kind of.
Is it a girl? It might be a boy.
I think it's a girl. Boy or girl, I'm surprised the child does not appear to be Chinese. So I wonder if that means that this is actually going to come to other markets as well. So it looks interesting. Yeah, it's got 1,280 pieces.
Damn.
So, wow. Ages 10 and up. So it's not for little kids. It's for older kids.
The child in the picture seemed to be younger. Might be a little younger than 10 looking. But
Daryl, what do you think of this kit?
It looks fun. I mean, like, I'm looking at it, and the part that stands out to me are the chest windows, like the boob windows, and it's a weird complaint, but they're too flat, right? There's no curvature to that, to the chest. There's no, how do I explain this? There's no chest definition, right?
Yeah, there needs to be at least that like silver line across the top that a lot
something
of the modern
right.
Have.
It's just it makes it look like there's a pair of glasses on his chest. That's what I'm looking at. It's not anything weird, sexual or boob related. It's just I'm looking at it and I see a pair of glasses on his chest, and it's super flat, and there's no kind of defined shape there. Other than that, I like it. I would love it if it transformed in that shape. I mean, I see the wheels that are kind of tucked in on his back. There's wheels on his legs. And it's definitely an Optimus. It looks kind of good. And it's huge, right? For a building, you know, toy, like it's, let's just say Lego related. Like, I don't know what you really want to call it. It's not really a Legos, but it's Lego related. But it's massive. Like, this thing has got to be at least 20 odd centimeters or so, maybe even taller than that, 25 centimeters tall. So it's quite big. I like it. It looks really fun. It looks like it would take a long time, but the packaging has shows how it's organized. Yeah, it's pretty cool. I imagine this thing would be expensive. It's interesting to see how they're kind of going with this, and I wonder how many more of these sets there's going to be. So I like it. I think it's a fun thing to do, because believe it or not, there's people out there that get tired of just doing Transformer toys, and they're really not into like the comics, or they're not into the movies, and they just want to do like the cartoons, and there's really not a lot of stuff out there that references just the cartoons that's not a toy. So there's stuff like this that's different, but it's still cool, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm still curious about this. I mean, we've seen a little bit of this NEZA cartoon, and it very much heavily leans on the Cyberverse style, you know, similar to that, the design of the characters there. So I'm curious if we'll see any of that coming west as well. I imagine it'll be difficult if it's really designed for the Chinese market, and there's a lot of cultural intelligence that we don't have for this this backstory here. So
sure,
but I'm still curious to see. I mean, I'm sure it'll be on the internet somewhere, so you can probably download it. I don't know if it'll be dubbed or translated, so I'm curious. And these figures look cool, so I guess we'll just keep our eyes out for it.
Yeah,
Jeremy, what do you think of this figure?
I really like it. It's definitely much better than anything Creo ever did. And you're right about the Technic thing. I just pulled up an image of a Technic thing from Wikipedia, and it uses the same types of rods and, you know, pieces with just holes in them. And it's amazing. If you look at some of the images with, like, you know, like the back of the robot and stuff, you're able to see how it the pieces come together. And it is just amazing looking at, you know, how they got this without using, you know, there's a few pieces that are flat and they're, you know, essentially cheating to make it look like Optimus Prime. But a lot of this is just putting these pieces in a certain way. And it's just, the engineering is just really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really hoping that something like this comes over here, because I think that'd be fun to work on.
Mm-hmm.
I really doubt we're going to get it over here, but it would be really neat to get our hands on and just try to put it together and see how badly we can do it.
All right, I have one more thing, and we don't have a lot of information on it, but Fans Hobby is going to tackle Armada Megatron. So they've already done an Armada Optimus Prime, and now they're moving on to Megatron. And we have kind of shadowy, you know, pictures of very rough prototype images with both the Minicon. So I think Armada Megatron's Minicon was Leader 1. And so they have a little comparison of the Megatron figure next to their Optimus Prime figure. And you can see there, you know, he's a little bit taller than the Optimus, at least the you know, the Bendy Prime inner robot figure. And you can see the prototype both in tank mode and robot mode. But it's got no details, no real, you know, the face sculpt's not really done at all. So you can't tell a lot other than that it's a vaguely Armada Megatron-shaped figure. But I think it's interesting that third parties are branching out to other, you know, besides G1 and movie stuff. They're tackling other lesser known iterations of Transformers. Jeremy, you have any interest in Armada Megatron to go with your, I mean, I know you don't have this Bendy Prime, but you like Bendy Prime and have a Bendy Prime.
I like Bendy Prime. I also have an Armada Megatron. I'm not really interested in getting a third party one since I don't have their Armada Prime, but I like the look of their Armada Prime, so I'm sure that this Megatron is going to look great. And they're even having the Minicon, you know, that's a nice touch. This is definitely like one of the odder looks for Megatron in robot mode with the big ear things, but I have good memories of the toy. I think this would be really cool if they could do things like having rubber treads and make it stand out. I think that'd be really cool. I doubt that's going to happen, but I'm looking forward to watching this because you know their Prime looks really good.
Daryl, what do you think of this figure?
Yeah, I agree a lot with Jeremy. Idea of you know maybe purchasing this thing is maybe completely dependent on how well their Bendy Prime turns out. I've never really been much of a you know an Armada Transformers fan. There's been bits and pieces of it that I've really kind of enjoyed, and that's mostly been due to the toys that they produced. The Armada Megatron design is really not my favorite. It's just it's a weird robot mode, and so they really would have to do something really kind of amazing here to really kind of win me over. The fact that they've included the Minibot is cool. I'm not a huge fan of Minicons, so it's just a nice little bonus to have. But the big kicker is going to have to be the Megatron, and like I said, something's going to have to happen in transformation to really show me that this is way above what the original one was, and why it needs to be, you know, purchased kind of thing. Because like a Jeremy, I do have the original Armada Megatron as well, and it's a weird figure.
All right, well, those are my toy topics, so we'll finish up the toy section and move on to trips to the store. This is where we show off all the amazing Transformers stuff we got this week. We do this as a video so you can see everything we got in beautiful high definition on YouTube. And we'll also have the audio right here in the podcast so you can keep listening and listen to us describe everything we show off in loving detail. So without further ado, trips to the store.
The Transmissions Podcast will return after these messages.
All right, let's talk about the stuff we got this week. And I'll go first. So I'm going to show off my Dreamwave Transformers Generation 1, number one covers. This is issue 6 of the series. This is the Autobot cover with Red Alert and Inferno. And then here's the Decepticon cover with Menasor, the Stunicon combiner. So yes, only 2 covers of this comic are available, so I did pull the Shelton 20 years before that was a thing. So it's still not a thing, but
it's a thing.
It's a thing.
But yeah, so Dreamwave Generation 1 number 6. This again was topping the charts of the top selling comics for that month. They beat out the big 2 and everyone else again. So
insane to think about.
Yeah. Yep. Those were better days for Transformers comic sales, at least. I don't know about quality.
All comic sales.
Yeah, all comic sales. That's true. But yeah. All right. Transformers comics. All right, Jeremy, what do you got?
All right. When I showed off some of my Dreamwave books earlier, I think it was New Zealand, like little versions I had, little digest versions. So I wanted to show off. I couldn't find my issue 6. Dig through a long box and find it. But I did have my Decepticon version of issue 2, which I hadn't shown, like that cover. And then I just was digging through for some other Dreamwave stuff, and I found the 20th anniversary Transformers Summer Special, which included a vote for, people could vote for the next Transformers series. And I think that series never happened because they went out of business. I believe that's what happened there, but this is cool. You get a nice image, and in the bottom you have Beast Wars Megatron and RID Optimus Prime in the corner. Those were the new series was going to be either a Beast Wars or an RID 2001 series. That was fun. And then I was thinking I was pulling an issue from this version, but this is actually issue number one from volume two, the Decepticon cover. And I was like, wait, was this printed weird? But then when I opened it up, it folds out, which I should show this side to be. No, I got it. I've seen gatefold covers, but how often do you see one that is three panels?
Nice.
So that's pretty impressive.
It was four. He just ripped it.
Right. Yeah, so this is for the volume two. So I'm sure we'll be getting into that at some point. So that's all I got this week.
All right, Daryl, we'll finish up with you.
All right. Well, I have one comic to show off this week. It's not Dreamwave. It's not IDW. It's Marvel. It's Marvel Age number 17. It's got Kermit and Miss Piggy on the front for Muppet Babies. And no, it's not Muppet Babies. It's regular Muppets. But this came out in August of 1984. And inside it is a preview of the Transformers.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
So this is the first appearance of Transformers in comic books.
Yeah, and we know you like your first appearances.
I certainly do. It goes on to the back, and it does show a panel from issue one with Starscream transforming. So, DJ Ronan, if you are looking for Starscream's first comic book appearance, it's right here. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the first appearance of Transformers.
Really. Yes, of Transformers altogether. So, but Starscream as an individual is right here. Yeah, it's and he is name checked in this upper panel too. So you can see it right there.
Nice.
Yeah. So August 1984 probably would have come out sometime in July or maybe even late June. Marvel Age number 17. It's kind of fun.
Did that preview run in like all the month's books for Marvel that month, or was it just in Marvel Age?
Just in Marvel Age. So this one, Marvel Age was a book that previewed a bunch of things. Now there's a book called Previews out that actually does everything. But Marvel Age was something that would give you a little peek as to what was coming. My toy for this week, I figured I'd go with the theme of Armada and show off my Tidal Wave.
Ah, nice.
This is a big boy, three component parts that combine together. He's complete. He's got the missiles here and the little mini-con that I don't remember his name, but he's there. And yeah, so this big boy is fun and towers over everyone else. He's cool. Yeah, not super articulate, but it's Armada, so it's not you don't expect a lot of articulation on the big guys from Armada. The head doesn't even turn. Yeah, cool. Tidal Wave and Kermit and Miss Piggy comic.
It's very cool.
Very relevant for Transformers. All right, well, that's all the stuff we got for trips to the store this week.
We now return to the Transmissions Podcast.
All right, we're back from our trips to the store, and we will finish up the show with feedback. All right, we got some feedback from Instagram this week. A longtime listener to this show is Cameron, and he wrote in, sent us a message. He said, "Hey guys, I'm a massive fan of the show and tune in every week for both awesome shows. And I have a couple of questions for you. What is your favorite headmaster? And do any of you have Siege Apeface?" So for me, I'd say my favorite headmaster is Nightbeat, just because I'm a fan of the character Nightbeat from way back in G1. Also on into the IDW era, first with Simon Furman and then later with James Roberts. So he's always been a favorite character. The headmaster aspect has not really been a huge part of his character in fiction, but he is a headmaster in the toy, so that's my pick. I do not have Siege Apeface. I did see him in the store, but he had a lot of battle damage on him, so I kind of passed on that figure. But I think, Daryl, did you pick that up?
I do have it. Yes. Yeah, it's a fun figure. I remember when I talked about it on the show. One of the interesting things about it is that its white plastic is very like milky. So it kind of caused a little bit of concern for me because I was a little bit worried about its the integrity of a milky white plastic. It didn't seem like it was very structurally sound. I do know that the arm shield or like the back wing pack on it or whatever they want to call it is kind of like a painted clear plastic, I guess. So the people were having a lot of problems with the peg on it because it would just snap off. So I don't know if people kind of fixed that or they realized how they had to be a little bit more gingerly removing it. But yeah, it's an interesting figure. It's got a bunch of different modes. I do have the original G1 ape face, and it transforms very similarly to the Siege ape face. So if you're a big fan of Siege ape face, I might suggest trying to track down a G1 ape face and just trying to see what the comparisons for the original to the new one are. As far as my favorite headmaster go, that's a good question. I probably, even though I don't have an original G1 version of it, I would probably have to go with Fort Max because he's a headmaster of a headmaster, and that's just really kind of fun. I do have Scorponok, and he's a big headmaster, but, the original G1 Fortress Maximus being like a double headmaster was just the coolest thing, right? So I really like that idea. Sure, the Titan's Return one is a double headmaster as well, and that's still cool. But that when they originally had done it in G1, it was just like mind-boggling. It's like this guy's head comes off, and then it becomes the head of the big guy. Insane! It was absolutely insane. So that would be my favorite headmaster.
Cool. Jeremy, what is your favorite headmaster?
Well, I didn't have any of the G1 headmasters, but I have the Generations Brainstorm, and I have a few from Titan's Return, but I think probably Hardhead, I think. He got a pretty good representation in the recent comics, and the toy was fun. It's one of those I keep close so I can mess with it, so I'll probably choose Hardhead.
Cool.
And I don't have Ape Face either.
Okay, so it's just Daryl.
Yeah. At first, when you posted that in, like, I read it initially as, "What's your favorite headmaster and why is it Ape Face?"
Maybe Cameron really likes Ape Face. Yeah.
We do all love an Ape Face. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
It's a cool figure, CJ Face, and I am looking forward to. What's his face? Not Ape Face, the other one, the dragon one that's coming out.
Snapdragon.
Snapdragon, yes. I can never remember his name. So Snapdragon's going to come out.
Name?
What is that dragon. Name? He's, looks like a dragon. The tip of my tongue.
Yeah. So he's going to be another headmaster. So, if you liked Ape Face, then hopefully Earthrise Snapdragon is really up your alley, too.
All right, Cameron has another question. He says, if it's okay, it is, Cameron. I have a third question. Have you guys heard of Transformers, the Definitive G1 Collection? And if so, how many installments do you have? Yes, we have heard of it. Sadly, it is not available in the U.S. in general. Like, we cannot subscribe to it or order it from the U.K., probably due to publishing rights, and how those are distributed in different regions. I did buy some
Doesn't mean you haven't gotten any installments, Charles.
I was getting to that. So I did buy some at a TFCon a couple of years ago. They were actually offered at during the charity auction. I have about five or six volumes of them, but I don't think I have any hope of completing the whole collection, and I don't think I have space for them anyway, but it is cool to get those nice hardbound books, and they are trying to collect basically all the comics from all the different eras. They have G1, they have Dreamwave, they have IDW. Well, I think they're still going and trying to just collect everything, but Yeah, it's not really available outside of the UK and Ireland.
Yeah, so. What I think is amazing is like even some of the old black and white stuff, they have John Paul Bove actually coloring some of the stuff that never had color.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really impressive. I wish that we would get it here.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have one piece of it though, right? I mean, Jeremy, you got one as well. I have one.
Did I? I can't remember.
I know I have at least part one.
I'll have to dig through my stuff. I knew Charles had it, and I just figured he took them all.
Yeah. $20 for all five parts.
I paid a little bit more. Can't always get those kinds of deals.
You suck.
We will never let you forget that.
All right. Well, thanks, Cameron, for writing in. And we did see you had a couple of more comments, but I think those are more focused for alt mode. So we will get to those in the next show on Friday. So keep listening. And that'll do it for this episode of Transmissions. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Later.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to this episode of Transmissions. But just because this episode is over doesn't mean the Transformers fun has to stop. Join us and other Transformers fans on our Discord chat server by visiting transmissionspodcast.com/Discord. If you would like to learn more about how you could support the Transmissions Podcast, just visit transmissionspodcast.com/support. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
That's what I didn't know we had to hold our breath.
So you can hold your breath for 5 seconds. It's not that bad.
It was
you don't
hell.
Have to.
It was hellish. My eyes were bugging out. Hi.
Hi.
How are you, Charles?
Good.
Are you exhausted?
Always. Daryl, you're rocking the Nazi Prime shirt.
It was...
Right as we get on YouTube. Thanks, Charles.
I'm not Nazis, wearing a shirt. What?
Nazis, what?
He wants to get us demonetized. Oh, wait, never mind.
I can't go on camera with my lizard face hanging out.
Yeah, we're not sure what you did with our old Charles, our old fat Charles, but we assume he's still around somewhere.
I consumed him.
This Charles just kind of burst out. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It was like Men in Black. He was just wearing a Charles suit.
Yeah.
An Edgar suit.
Yeah. Charles is a shrull.